Welcome to the Heart Matters Podcast with your host, Ibn Leon. Join us as we explore the intricacies of spirituality and self-improvement. Gain a fresh perspective on enhancing your spiritual, emotional, and mental well-being through the fusion of spirituality and self-improvement. Enjoy Ibn's engaging conversations with guests from diverse backgrounds. They share unique perspectives on personal growth and holistic health. From spiritual leaders to relationship experts, entrepreneurs to creatives, each episode delivers knowledge and inspiration. Tune in to the Heart Matters Podcast for profound conversations and practical advice, empowering you to live your best life. Chapter 5, Inspiring Stories. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Heart Matters Podcast. I am your host, Lewis Morris, relationship and spiritual life coach. It is my mission and mantra to help the women and couples deepen their connection, communication, and intimacy with one another and or the creator of the heavens and earth. We have another smart person on the show. I told a woman the other day, you know, and I haven't released the podcast yet. We don't have no dumb people on the show. You know, everybody's smart. You know, this is Roger Barajas. He is the brother of Jose Lugo. They are the founders of We Are All One Story. He is currently a student at Texas in Austin, majoring in liberal arts with a minor in business entrepreneurship. He is also looking to study radio, television, and film. He's going to be the next big director, everybody. This is exciting for me to have Roger on the program. So, Roger, just introduce yourself to the people. Tell them a little bit about you. Then we're just going to chat for a minute.
Yeah, for sure. That was a great introduction. Thank you. Roger Barajas, 20 years old, turned 21 actually in December. So that's coming up. You know, just being a student right now and really just helping out with We Are All One Story, you know.
All right. Okay, man. So let's talk a little bit about, because your brother talked about his childhood, what took place, you know, with him and his mother. You know, so do you guys have the same parents?
We have the same father.
Okay. All right. So were you around when his mother, you know, when him and his mother were together, or were you someplace else? Were you with your father?
Right. Yeah. I wasn't able to see that side of his life. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what was your upbringing like? You were raised separately from Jose. You were in another part of Los Angeles or what?
Yeah. So that's how it was. I grew up and also San Pedro. From what I could remember, you know, it was just very pure. Like we would have Disneyland season passes before they were extremely expensive. You know, we would go out. My mom would take, you know, so many photos that I would look back. I don't even remember this, but, you know, they love just spoiling us and like with love and just taking us out. And, you know, we had a great time. I would think I had a great childhood. You know, I didn't remember any, you know, growing up moments like seeing Carlos as a child. I can't remember that. When I say Carlos, I'm referring to Jose.
Right.
But yeah, I had a great childhood. We didn't really cross paths that way, I don't think. But it's interesting. I do have a story that I do remember. As you know, you spoke to Carlos about his story when, you know, he went out and did his thing early on and some mistakes he made. And the one day that he went out and decided to, you know, to rob, we were going to go to Legoland. I remember this day. It's weird. I don't remember much about my childhood, like when I was young, but I remember this day. I don't know if he knows this, but it was me, my mom, my dad, and my younger brother, I think. And we were at my Tia Blanca's house. And you know, we're like, oh, let's all go to Legoland. Yeah, cool. And Carlos was like, I think he was in on it. He was gonna go too, and I was really excited. And then next thing you know, he leaves, but I don't know why he leaves. And little did I know that moment was gonna change his life. You know what I mean? All of our lives. You know, I remember my dad getting a call while he was at Legoland, like, you know, something's up. And you know, it's just that was crazy to me. You know, I didn't understand it back then, but full
Okay, so,
circle.
all right, so did you, all right, so when did you and Jose actually know each other? When did you meet him? What age were you?
Was when he got out of prison. He when I met him, I was like 14-ish, around 14. He had just gone out of prison, and that's when he took up on my father's offer on coming to Texas and living with us. So
Yeah.
literally, he comes to Texas and into our household, and I'm just extremely excited. Like, I've never met my brother, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, so I'm trying to get to know him, but like, no matter how he is or his personality, like, whatever it is, like, I love him, you know what I mean? Like, I just love spending time with him, playing games. We played a lot of games. Like, I like messing with him, like fighting with him. You know, we had our physical altercations. You know, and it's just seeing that, you know, somebody new in the family, but it's not new, it's blood, you know. So it was great. It was great.
Okay, so you didn't even get to meet him before he got locked up. You were going to meet him that day at the Legoland.
Right. That was a moment that I remember that he was around. That he was around. Like, I never got to really in-depth meet him. I sit down and like, yeah, like
Okay.
not on a like that kind of relationship level,
Okay,
but like what.
I understand what you're saying. Okay, so when he got out and you two started, hanging out together, man, what was it like for you know what I'm saying, as the younger brother, you know what I'm saying, just hanging out with your older brother, like, for the first time?
It was awesome. It was just like, you know, I also have a younger brother too, Chris, and another younger brother, Billy. And you know, he had the room right next to me. And you know, it's just he was in a phase of his life where he needed it. And you know, I didn't realize everything that was working at the time. I'm just excited to have a, you know, to have him in the house. You
Yeah.
know, I was big, and I think at the time I'm really young. I think I'm in middle school. Big into video games, big into just, you know, don't really care about my future just yet. You know, I'm YouTube, on YouTube, uploading YouTube videos. You know, it was just from what I could, you know, what I remember it to be, it was just fun. Like, I was just really excited to have him there. And it was like, you know, we would have, you know, great times. Like, we would mess around and be downstairs talking about doing a podcast before podcasts were even like a thing. Like, it was fun. It really was.
All right, so let's talk about this radio, television, and film thing. All right, because obviously everybody has their story when it comes to them wanting to do something. So what was it that made you wanna, I mean, what are you going? You trying to be a filmmaker? What are you doing here? What is your goal with this radio, television, and film that you want to study here?
Yeah, is it cool if I kind of tell a little bit of the academic story?
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah,
Yeah.
so you know, being in I'll take it back to my senior year in high school. When I'm applying to universities, you know, I'm talking to admissions coordinators from different universities. They're offering me like some scholarships, and I'm just still kind of in my head, like, I'm gonna go to college, but I don't know what it's going to be about. And mentally, I always wanted to go one of two things. It was either business or somewhere in the creative arts. Because deep down, I know that I'm a creative, but you know, I also care about, you know, my financials, my career. Like, being, you know, at a conversation, being in a conversation, what's your major? Business. You know what I mean? It's like a, it's not a cliche, but it's like a, oh, okay, there's a good connotation to it. You know what I
Right.
mean? Like,
Yeah.
cool. There's not gonna be some sort of interrogation, like, like, oh, are you gonna work? What, you know, like, so there was kind of like that aspect to it that I took into consideration. You know, my father works at Toyota. He's been there for a very long time, so there's that kind of influence. You know, take the business track. You know, but deep down, I'm a creative man, and I know what I could bring to this world through so many lenses. And you know, my dream school had always been to go to UT. So when I applied, and was going through that process, I spoke to my admissions counselor at the school, and he was like, "I wouldn't do it if I were you." Like, straight up, it's just like in the movies, like, you get the doubt from the admissions counselor, like, and that's not how it works for me. Like, you actually just fueled some more fire in me to want to get in, you know, and succeed in my goals. So of course, you know, I apply, and I didn't really, you know, I had always taken school seriously, and I think I graduated with like a 97.86 GPA. But it, like, if I had known it was all about the grade and academics and extracurricular, like, I would have been doing it since like freshman year, you know, and there was a lot of people around me that, you know, had an impact. They knew exactly where they're going, what they were majoring in, how much they're getting, like, room and board, like, months in advance. So I was like, okay, I felt like behind the curve a little bit when I was looking at my peers and their career paths. But I'd always known it was going to work out for the best. So I had applied to UT, and, you know, I did have my extracurriculars. I did have good grades. I had great grades, but they weren't like 100 plus, you know what I mean? They only auto admit the top 6%. I was below that threshold. And, you know, like, how could I make my resume? Like, how could I make my application stand out? And, you know, they had three essays and like three short answer responses. And I was like, yeah, perfect. This is my bread and butter right here. And, you know, I literally knew right when I saw it, like, this is, someone has to sit down and read the entire thing. You know, and I'm good at, you know, conveying my emotion through writing, you know, through papers, you know, having my voice stand out in that paper, you know, you get to really hear me. And, you know, I went through that process, had it peer reviewed by multiple teachers. You know, I've been blessed to have like great English teachers growing up, all throughout high school and even college. I've had great English teachers and professors. And you know what? They came back. I was waiting for a while, and, you know, I kind of felt like it was meant to be, I was going to hear a yes, but you never want to be at that state where it's like, you're overconfident about something, like a decision. Like, you don't want to mess that energy up. You don't want to be like, oh yeah, this is going to happen for sure. Like, no, like, I'm confident in my mind. Like, I know where I want to be. I know where this is going to take me. But I'm also ready for, you know, the opposite end of the also. So I like to keep a healthy balance when it comes to, you know, thinking about my future. So I hear back from them, and they're like, Roger, you know, unfortunately, we can't admit you at this moment. But what we can offer you is a spot in our CAP program. So I'm like, I don't understand this. So the CAP program is essentially, they're not 100% sold on you yet. Like, we want you at the university, but we're not 100% sold on you yet. Maybe like 90% sold. What we're going to do is, if you're willing, you could accept or decline, is do a year at a sister UT school. And you would maintain a certain GPA, and you would take, a set list of courses that would transfer, and it would be, and 30 hours. So they would give you like a list of requirements to hit before you could go to UT. And you won't be necessarily admitted to the major of your choice. You would just be admitted into the College of Liberal Arts. And then once you're there, you could compete for other majors. You know what I mean? So it was like, you got to do this to get here, but you're not automatically in your major. You got to compete to get there. So it's like, it's all building blocks. So I looked at it and I was like, yes, like I thrive in competition. This is perfect. Like, it's the reason I'm here anyways. It's the reason I'm here anyways. So yeah, I took up on that offer and I went to UTSA for my freshman year of college. And let me, I kind of went a little bit too far, because I was excited about the CAP program, of course, and going to UTSA and doing all that. But the summer before my freshman year at UTSA, I had went to two local community colleges to get two classes of credit just to be ahead of the curve. And they were fun. They were fun classes, had A's in both. And you know, looking forward to the UTSA, you know, my following 2 semesters at UTSA. And you know, we all have admissions counselor when we step onto the university, and mine, you know, in my experience happened to be zero help to me. She, you know, the energy and vibe that I got from her was she was not cool with me set on my goals on, you know, leaving UTSA and advancing to UT. She was kind of like, she was always or sending emails or urging me in person, you know, this is always an option. And this, like, which I always appreciated, but when it came to me explaining my goals to her and what I want to do, advancing at UT, she didn't help, like with coursework and you know, requirements. Like I had so many questions, it was all foreign to me. And she kind of was just like, yeah, you got to do that. You know, you got to look it up. You got to do on your own. Like, and it makes, and looking back at it, you know, I can't blame her for it. Like, it makes sense. Like, college is all about self-discipline. And, you know, I don't have any, you know, like it all worked out for the best, because having, you know, even the admissions counselor at my high school and then having, you know, my counselor at UTSA. And I was like, when I talked to her, we're not on the same connect. It was nothing new to me, really. So it was just that self application within myself and just you know, figuring it out on my own, really. And but what had happened there was she had brought up one day, like, I think this was our first meeting, looking at my transcript and my courses that I have. And she was like, wait, you took two classes at the community college last summer. I was like, yes. She said, that's a violation of your CAP agreement. I was like, wait, what? And she's like, yeah, that's a violation of your CAP agreement. So, which means that you can't go to UT. She just said it down straight like that and looked me in my eyes. And you know, I asked all the questions. Like, how is this the case? Why is this the case? Can you explain this and that? And you know, it all came back to, yeah, this is what you signed. You can't take summer courses prior to your first year at the CAP institution. And you know, you could do it after the summer after, but just not before. So she's like, yeah, you're unfortunately just not gonna go to UT. And that broke my heart. Like, you know, I kind of wanted to cry in that, I could feel my eyes getting teary in that space. Like, you tell me, because you know, I wanted to get ahead of the curve, because I wanted to just, you know, I was so excited to be, you know, to go where I wanted to be, and you know, I worked hard, and now I'm not going to be able to do what I want to do. It's like, now your mind shifts. And she had gave me the con she had gave me the contact of Mike Washington, which was the director direction direct he was the admissions guy for the CAP program. He was at UT. And she said, you know, here you go. Like, so I was like, okay. And I remember giving him a phone call. The secretary had answered, and I'd spoken to him a little bit, you know, he had answered that shortly after, and you know, and we just we kind of he kind of just said, we'll just kind of explain it to me in email. It's like, okay. So here's the interesting part. Before I had done those two summer courses, I had made sure with admissions counselors at those two community colleges if it would not valid if it would not invalidate my CAP agreement, meaning like if I were to take these courses, I would be good with my CAP agreement. I would be good to go. And they had both told me yes. So, okay, cool. They had told me yes. And now we're at a point where it did validate, like it did mess it all up. And now I'm back trying to fix things. And it's just a big mess, you know, a big mess. I'm trying to clean things up when there's like, it looks like there's no hope. You know what I mean? I'm literally declined. I invalidated the contract and, you know, now it's, I can't go to my dream school. But these two admissions counselors from these community colleges that I talked, that I went to, they told me that I would be good to go. So I refer back to them. I contact them again. And I'm like, is there a way that you can help? Can you, would you be able to write a letter? Kind of just explaining the situation, me contacting you and you also saying like, you know, you also taking accountability, like you had told me, that I was good to go. And didn't hear an answer for a long time.
So when'd you get in?
Yeah, so it was like, I had pretty much, I had gotten a response from one. Send it over to Mike. He was able to look it through. And he said, you know what? I'm just going to let you slide.
Okay. All right, let's go back then. All right, let's go back. Let's go back.
For sure.
Why did the first counselor say that you shouldn't do it? What was that person's motivation?
He looked at the grades.
What was wrong with the grades?
They were great. They were not subpar. They were not, you know, the caliber of the other students that he was, you know, that walked in there, that were there on a daily, you know, 100 plus, you know what I mean? It's like just a few points, you know what I mean?
So what were you getting, 90s, 97s?
Right, right, yeah.
Okay, so, I don't understand that. I mean, why would he discourage you because you got a 97?
Mm-hmm. I didn't understand it either.
Are you sure it wasn't something else? You sure it wasn't something else?
No, like he was somebody that I genuinely like came in and talked to with him and, you know, talked about universities and my future with. And, you know, we looked at many options. And when UT came up, he was just kind of, taken aback and he was just like, just like implied that it could be a waste of time for me.
Hmm.
So I had taken a little bit like offense to it in the moment. You know what I mean? You roll with it in the moment, but deep down inside, you're like, no, like I didn't understand why he said that, but it kind of fueled me.
Okay. All right. So what are you going to do with this? You know what I'm saying? Are you going to be the next big director? What are you trying to do here? What are you trying to accomplish here? Because there has to be a goal. You know what I'm saying? There's an intention. You know what I'm saying? Every action is driven by intention. So what is your intention when it comes to the radio film? I mean, radio, television, and film.
No, that's a great question. I want to do so many things. You know, like growing up, I had always been big into the arts. You know, like I grew up playing violin for 8 years. Was in mariachi for a long time. Messed around with like YouTube videos with like so many different channels and trying so many different things. And I guess in a way I was just always creating. We are all one story now. I definitely do want to be a film director, create films, because that's a medium where you can incorporate music. You could incorporate photography with the shot. Mise en scène, like you could do so many things with film. And I have a lot of like crazy ideas for the future that include like VR, and incorporating VR in films. And just, you know, that's one of the ways, that's one of the places my mind drifts about the future. Another place is also like podcasts and like creating kind of this network where I get a group of friends at UT and they speak on the things that they love and they want to talk about, and, you know, going that direction also, and also going into another direction, you know, with, you know, we are all one story. Like, I full and wholeheartedly believe in this, in this project, and this is definitely, you know, something that I genuinely look forward to in its future.
Okay, but let's talk about this then.
Mm-hmm.
So when did you first hear your brother talking about this, mm-hmm, we are all one story? When did you first hear him? Let me rephrase the question. Were you in on the first meeting, or was it just him and someone else? Was it just him and Ralph?
We had all had the first meeting, all three of us all together. But before that official first meeting, he had communicated it with me when I was in Denver, I believe, you know, at its rough draft, like at its, you know, beginning stages of creation. And, you know, it was super, when I had first heard it, it was extremely universal. I was like, okay, this is really, you know, open-ended, huge, ambitious. Those are some words that come to mind. Like, I thought it was great from the jump.
Okay, but why didn't you jump on board right away? Because he said it took you a minute for you to get back to him and say, yeah, you know, I want to be a part of this. So what was your hesitation?
It wasn't more so a hesitation. It was just more so seeing the trends. Like, the story goes, I was at UT, I was at Austin. I was actually in my dorm and I had called him. I'm like, I'm in. You know, I was able after that trip, and, you know, and seeing Carlos, you know, I've had the opportunity to see Carlos, you know, see the transition of him, like after prison, you know, trying to adapt to this lifestyle, trying to change to the point where he is now. A lot of people just know, you know, where he's at now and, you know, his life and how his life is right now. I've had the chance to see him, you know, the stages beforehand and the process beforehand. And, you know, not only do I, it was more so, I believed in him. Like, I saw his change. Like I was able to see him change his lifestyle for the better. And that was able to reflect onto We Are All One story.
Okay, all right. So I see where you come from. So you're saying that initially, the reason you accepted the invitation after first hearing the concept was because of your belief in your brother.
Exactly what it was. It was like, it was the belief. It was literally feeling it. It was feeling his transformation. It was like feeling a new energy to him. It was like, you know, it was completely different from when he had first gotten out of prison and was living with me. It was more laxed. It was more calm. It was more spiritual. It was more, you know, driven, focused. It was more, you know, all those terms. Like, I was able to feel him in a new, in a, like, as kind of almost a new person, which is funny. And you know, I'd always thought the idea was great. That was always there. But just him being able to change and commit to his new lifestyle was that defining factor.
Wow. Okay, so what are you doing? What do you do for the company, for the project? What is your role here?
For sure. So I like to think of myself like I work technically and creatively. So technically, that could be anything from, you know, right now, just like setting up the lights, the stage for the interview to come in, going down, like taking their pictures, editing YouTube clips, fonts, texts, promotions, just technical things of that nature. Creatively, same thing, overall big concepts, chapters, color, like how we essentially do like themes on the Instagram page, you know, how are we gonna implement this, where are we gonna put it on the website. I kind of do a mix technically and creatively.
Okay. Have they interviewed you yet? Does everyone get interviewed?
Everyone has been interviewed except me. I've just been waiting.
Okay, so when is your turn coming?
You know, I had told myself I get an admission decision. I'm at UT now. The way the story just plays out, he says I'm in. I do my work at UTSA, and now I'm at UT, right? So, I had always wanted to just get into art, see what my admission decision is in January, and whether it's a yes, whether it's a no, share my story.
Okay.
After the decision.
Okay. Top of the year. All right. So after you get your decision about whether you're going to get into UT or not, that's when you'll do your interview.
Right. Yeah. So I'm at UT right now. It's whether or not I get into RTF at the school.
Okay. Also. Okay. All right. Sure. Okay. So where's your girlfriend at?
She is in San Antonio. She's a hairstylist.
Okay. So when do you get to see her? I mean, you're traveling all over the country. You know what I'm saying? You know. When do you get to see her?
She definitely misses me a lot. I see her a lot, actually. You know, as much as I do travel, I like being home too. Like, I have family home. I have her there. I see her a lot. Yeah.
Okay, so where'd you meet her at?
I met her when I was a junior at my high school. That's a story in itself.
Okay. All right. This is why we're here.
Yeah, for sure. You know, she was in my English class my junior year, and man, she was the most like beautiful girl in the entire school. I'm saying in the entire city, in the entire state. Like, you know, it was just like, wow. Obviously, I don't think I have a chance. Like, this is a girl that's like super popular, super like, like popping on Instagram, just everything, right?
Yeah.
I didn't think I had a chance at all. So, you know, and I was always this like nerdy, just quiet kid in a way. Like,
okay,
I'm not.
What did you say, man? What did you say? When you walked up to her, what did you say, man?
It was crazy because a homegirl of hers had Snapchatted me the period before I was going to see her. I was like, you know, she likes you. So now it's like on me to like go up to her and, you know, whatever, right? So then I'm shaking, right? The class is starting. I'm thinking about her the whole time. It's ending. We could feel it's super fucking like nervous. So then I go up to her at the end of class and like I have my head, I'm like, you take your headphones off, because she had her headphones in. I was like, you take your headphones off? And she was like, huh? So I was like, it was just awkward already, like right there. And I was like, you know, I just asked for her number and she was like, yeah. So boom, got it. It was cute. It was funny. It was awkward. It was very blocky. But it was like, I got what I wanted, you know? Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, so you call her.
Right.
You call
no,
her.
No, I snapped.
What you mean no? You got the number and didn't call her?
I was so nervous. Okay, I was texting her like all the time.
Texting.
But that became a problem because she was even like, why don't you have the same energy, you know? Not just on the calling, but like in person, like we would text all day, all night. But when we saw each other in class, you know, I'm a junior, right? I'm too scared to even talk to her. So, yeah, that was fun. That was funny.
It was funny. All right.
Man,
give me. Okay. So how in the world did you get to go out with her?
Mm-hmm.
with this type of turtle attitude that you was coming from? How did you get there?
It's when the honesty came out. It's when the true character showed. It's like when I finally applied myself, it's like, you know what? It's time to just be you. It's time to just approach her and talk and take her out. And, you know, I remember our first date. We were at Bubba's, it's a restaurant in San Antonio. And, you know, right then and there, like it was just, it's different from being in a school atmosphere. It's different from all those things. It's from all through the phone, FaceTime. You know, now you're in the moment, and you know, it just felt so pure. It felt so good. And I was able to, even though I was still awkward, I was able to, you know what, I do got to kind of man up, right? I do got to, you know, take the initiative. And it was funny, that first date, I had given her two passes to the Jambalaya Hip Hop Festival in Austin. So I was like, yeah, like we're on. So, you know, everything after that was like a honeymoon.
Yeah.
And we're getting to know each other too. So it was just like, it worked perfectly.
Excellent, man. All right. So let's talk about the interview. So when you with your brother, are you there? Are you in the room when he's doing the interviews?
Yes. I'm like behind him.
Okay. All right. So now I asked him the same question, you know what I'm saying? So, and he, you know, he told me. So what was the most, powerful interview that you witnessed?
Ralph's the first interview we ever did. It was just it wasn't for that interview, it wasn't just me there in Denver. It was me, Carlos, my brother, and my younger brother Chris. He had also came out to Denver on that trip. And you know, that being its first interview, everything is foreign to us, right? The mechanics of it, you know, how it's going to come out. It's the first interview. So we have it down in our minds how it might go conceptually, you know, specifically Carlos. But we don't really know how it's going to go. We believe in the concept, but we've never seen it in fruition. So Ralph is there, you know, they were setting the cameras up, everything's, you know, working there. And you know, we start going, and you just see the vulnerability come out in a new way. You just see him in a new lens. He's just honest. He's just in his truest form. And you know, I've never heard his story about, you know, knowing him, I never heard his story about specifically him losing his legs and how traumatizing that was in his journey, and you know, all the things going around in his life. And it was just so impactful and incredible, and a crazy story about, you know, overcoming all odds. You know, and I was able to see that, you know, for the first interview, and I was like, damn, like that it changed me.
I'm trying to have him on the show, man.
For sure.
Oh, did you talk to him? Have you spoken to him about coming on The Heart Matters? Because I definitely want to have him on the program. You know, I would like to sit and chat with him, man, because that's deep. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So, you know, did you, I mean, when Jose asked him, you know, how he got through that, you know, what was, you know, what, give me like a synopsis of what his answer was.
Ralph, you know, getting through that was really a journey. It was non-linear in a way. It was, there were, you know, the way he explained it, like it's just ups and downs. You know, he's also battling through depression. You know, there's family troubles there. There's just a lot of things working at once. So it's just having faith. It's having hope. And I know that sounds very, you know, clear cut, but in a complex way, he was just able to grind it out. He was able to commit to a goal that he had, which was join the U.S. Paralympic sled hockey team and win a gold medal. And he had never played sled hockey in his life. But he's like, fuck it, I'm gonna just learn it. And, you know, he committed to it. Sure enough, he's on the team. He's on, like, the whole story is incredible. He's on the team now. And sure enough, like, I've seen the final game, and he wins the gold medal. Like, it's crazy. He literally envisioned it. He stuck to the plan and he executed. And now he's still trying to go back and win another one. But yeah.
Wow. That is okay. Yeah. Well, we're going to get him on, man. You know, then let him talk to the people. Because look, you know, this is what we need. We need, because, you know, you look at people and some people think that their situation is really, really bad, you know, and then you look at, you know, someone like Ralph and like that, and then you understand, well, maybe, you know, maybe my problems aren't that serious, you know what I mean? So I want to get him on, man, so he can inspire some people, because, you know, I know that's what he's coming with, you know what I'm saying? Because, he, you overcome things like that, you know what I'm saying? Then your whole deal is like inspiring. That's how you come in, you know?
right.
Yeah,
right.
Man, I really appreciate you coming on the program, man. Tell the people what you and your family got coming up, man.
Yeah, we are all one story. We're closing out this chapter. You know, we're working for next year. It's going to be great. It's just going to be continual growth. More stories being shared, and just want everyone to remember that their story matters.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, Jose said that he wanted to interview me, but I'm in the sticks, man. You know, I'm in the sticks, man. But if you guys ever get out here, you know, and just look me up, you know what I mean? And, I sit on the couch, you know, I'm not a big fan of being interviewed. I'm the interviewer. You know what I'm saying? But I do it, man. I stick it out. You know, I sit on the couch, man, and let y'all, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it, man. Sure. Tell the people how to get in touch with you, man.
If you get in touch with us on Instagram at We Are All One Story, Facebook, We Are All One Story, YouTube.com/ We Are All One Story. We have Jose's book, Love, Faith, and Violence, A True Song and Story, coming out, I believe, this month. And, you know, we're just going to continue working on sharing people's stories and sharing the message that every person's story matters.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you coming on, man, so soon after your brother did. Yeah, because I know he came and said, yeah, man, you know, I talked to Lewis, you know what I'm saying? Lewis want to have you on, you know what I mean? And I appreciate you, you know, reaching right out, man, and coming on and sharing your story with us, man. I really appreciate it. So just let your brother, let Ralph know, you know, that I'm waiting for him.
For sure.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on, man.
All right. Thank you, boss.
Yeah, you're all welcome, right, man. That was Jose Barajas from We Are All One Story. If you guys get a chance to check them out, it is impressive. And emotional. I just, you know, was strolling on Instagram one day and I happened to see their Instagram feed, and I just started reading some of their what they were saying, and then I went to their YouTube channel and watched a couple of the interviews, and it is inspiring what they're doing with We Are All One Story. I appreciate Roger and his brother Jose being on, and we're going to try to get Ralph on as soon as possible to talk about what he's been through and what they're doing now with We Are All One Story. The podcast is growing tremendously. People are starting to participate more in the relationship survey. I appreciate everyone participating in that, as many people as possible, so that we can provide better service and assistance to the couples going forward. You can get the relationship survey by going to my profile and hitting the link tree on Instagram or Facebook, and you can get the survey there, or you can just, you know, put my link tree address in your browser and you can get to the relationship survey along with the a whole host of other things that we provide. But the link tree is linktr.ee/LouisMorris, LouisMorris. That's linktr.ee/LouisMorris. And I would appreciate you guys taking the relationship survey challenge. The more people, the better, because we can get a good idea of what we have to do to tailor our packages to help as many couples as we possibly can in the future. Whoever wants some daily inspiration, some wisdom, check out the latest blog. We put a blog out on Friday about healing and forgiveness. Whoever wants to check any of those things out, then you can check them out on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest at Louis Morris Coaching. That's at LouisMorris Coaching. Also, whoever would like to speak with me about one of the coaching packages, the Revitalized Relationship Package or the Spiritual Growth Package, then you can go to the website, LouisMorrisCoaching.com, and schedule a 45-minute free consultation call. We are still giving away the two free eBooks as well, Relationships in Rhymes and The Heart Matters. Relationships in Rhymes is a book. It's just that, a list of poems that rhyme all the way through that speak about various relationships, friendship, marriage, you know, all of that. And then The Heart Matters, which is named after the podcast, is a book of spiritual antidotes and stories that you can also download for free. You can get them by going to the website, LouisMorrisCoaching.com, or you can just go to your browser, LouisMorrisCoaching.com/ebooks, and you can download the two free ebooks. I got a copy of each of my books a week and a half ago, I believe it was, The G Experiment, Ramble, and A Treatise on Cultivating Manhood. And now what I'll come on and periodically I read a little piece from each one of the books. So I'm going to just read something here from the G Experiment. This is the only fiction book that I've written. I've written fiction stories in the past, but this is the only fiction book that I've written so far. So anyway, G is Greg Anderson, and he got into some trouble as a youth, and he went to prison for 10 years, and he got out, and he started working at his cousin's barbershop, and he was, you know, determined to stay away from that life and to turn his life around. But while he was in prison, he got heavy into reading. He did a lot of reading. So when he got out, he didn't have his books, you know, he didn't have the prison library anymore. So he started going to the library in New York City, and he saw this girl there named Sarah, and she would be there reading all the time. And this is a part of the book where he actually goes over and talks to Sarah. He says, "Everything was going well, but I miss my books. I had books in my cell, and I could grab one at any time when I was locked up. Freedom is sweet, though, so I just started going to the Brooklyn Public Library once a week. I even got a library card. I started seeing this very attractive woman there every week. On one of those Fridays, she came in and sat across from me. We just sat there reading quietly for a while until she broke the silence. 'Hi, I'm Sarah.' I looked back to make sure she was talking to me and then replied, 'Hi, my name is Greg, but everyone calls me G. I see you are here every week and that you are an avid reader. How do you feel about marriage?' 'What do you mean?' she asked. 'Are you asking me if I believe in the institution of marriage? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm asking. Do you? Absolutely, she replied. My mom and dad have been married 25 years. But why are you asking me about marriage? I answered, because this is what my dad taught me. He taught me what his father taught him. His father was Muslim and his mother was Christian. His father told him that it shows the utmost respect for a woman and her family if you intend marriage when you first meet someone you're attracted to and you are very attracted. She replied, thank you, but I don't understand. Are you actually asking me to marry you? That can't be what you're doing because we just found out each other's name. Other than that, we know nothing about each other. All right, let me explain. Would you be willing to do an experiment with me? What kind of experiment? She asked. We will get to know the important stuff about each other by getting our families involved. I will ask your family questions about you, and you'll ask my family questions about me. Then, if we are satisfied with the answers we get, we will have what's called a sit-down at my home or your home so we can talk face-to-face. We won't date. We won't call and text each other. We will find out all the essential stuff from our respective family members. Career goals, how many kids we want, what our jobs are, if we both are religious, and any other important questions we can think of. If we get married, that's when we'll date and find out more about one another. Would you be willing to go on this journey with me? Sarah gave me a curious look and answered, I don't completely understand how this works based on what you told me, and I don't even know why I'm considering it, but I am intrigued. I just need a few more details about this experiment, as you call it. This is just a little piece of the G experiment. And if you read the book, they go on with, he explains to her. And then it is a fascinating take. I don't even know why I ventured down this road. It was just something that I was thinking about. And I said, well, let me just, you know, just put this in a book form and see if someone, or if people would actually like it. And if you read the book, you know, I read the book. You know, I'm not talking about when I wrote it. I mean, after I wrote it, you know what I'm saying? I you know, and I edited it because I edited it like three times. So after I wrote it and I edited it like three times and I got it to where I felt comfortable with it, I read it, you know? And, you know, I thought it was a pretty decent read. You know, if you would like to get any of the books, they're available on Amazon.com. You can go to Amazon.com and just put in Lewis Morris books, or you can put in the specific book, The G Experiment, Ramble, or A Treatise on Cultivating Manhood, and you'll be able to order the books. I thank you guys for enjoying the podcast. The podcast is just doing so well. Please continue to share and like and leave some stars and some comments for the podcast if you don't mind. I thank you guys for all of your support and your participation. And I will speak to you guys again soon.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Heart Matters podcast. For relationship, spiritual, coaching, and resources, go to the Heart Matters brand link tree, which is linktr.ee/LOUISMORRIS. That's linktr.ee/LOUIS. M-O-R-R-I-S. And we will see you again soon.